Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website, c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
How's everyone doing? Doing well? You all look wonderful. So good to see you all. And again, if you are for your first, second, third time, can we put our hands together one more time? Maybe on Zoom. So good to meet my new friends, Sophia and Isaac. Love you guys. Welcome. And we are talking about our vision month. And so we've been talking about the topic of, or the line of, I have decided. Can you just turn to somebody and tell them, I have decided. I have decided. And this vision month for us is, you know, sometimes the vision can be about what we're trying to do, but also this for us is about what we see for you and what we see for Sydney. And it's less about, you know, like, we don't exist to try and get Sydney to do something for us. We actually exist to serve our city. We exist to change the world. We're not here to try and get people to do things that we're trying to get you to do. We're actually here to serve. And so our heart for Sydney is to serve this city and to serve you. And we believe that one of the best things, the best decisions, stakes in the ground you could ever have is to say, I have decided to follow Jesus. My finances are a bit tricky at the moment, but I have decided to follow Jesus. Things in my marriage are tricky, but I have decided to follow Jesus. I don't have many likes on Instagram, you know, a lesser version. Like, it's not a big deal, but it's, you know, for some people it can be. I don't have a lot of followers on it, but I have decided to follow Jesus. Going through a pandemic that I thought finished at 2020. I have decided, nonetheless, to follow Jesus. And so our goal is actually not to fill buildings. That is not our goal. Our goal is to make disciples. And what is a disciple? A disciple is simply somebody who follows Jesus. Full buildings and a great multiplication of what God is doing in our lives actually is a byproduct. It's not the end goal. The end goal is that you could say, I have decided to follow Jesus from now to the end of my life. Because the greatest decision you could ever make is to follow Jesus. And listen to me, it's not a matter of will you follow something. Just a matter of who. Who's it going to be? Because you are made to worship. You are made to follow. I am made to follow, and you will follow something. And maybe you don't call it a God, but money might be it. And maybe it doesn't seem religious, but it actually might be your religion. It might be what you are really following. And so the question is not, are you following? The question is who? What? And at the end of your days, when you've lived your life, you will not be looking to your bank account to find meaning. You will not be looking to the things of this world to know, was what I lived for worth it? It won't be sport. It won't be anything other than, did I live for my Creator and what He created me to do? And this starts with availability. It starts with an encounter, and then it continues with availability. And I want to talk to you from Matthew 4 and Luke 5 tonight. You got your Bible? Yeah, you got your Bible? That's right. You can talk to me. Do you have your Bible? Who has a digital device? Anybody? Okay. Who has an iPhone? Samsungs, you know the deal. We'll pray for you at the end. And we got a big Bible on the screen, if you didn't bring it, if you got a leather-bound Bible. Who likes their leather-bound Bible? Anybody? Yeah, okay. So can you turn to Matthew 4? And then go down to verse 12. And we're going to, verse 18. We're going to read from there together. The title, my Bible, I'm reading for the NIV right now. Who likes the NIV? Let's go. Who likes ESV? Love it. Come on Zoom. Tell us in the chat what version you like. If you don't know what version, don't worry. It's just a version of the Bible. But just, you know, whatever you've got. Let's read together. In chapter 4, verse 18, it says, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers. Everyone say two. Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And Jesus, seems quite abruptly, said, come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. Verse 20, read that again. At once. So it doesn't say they had to pray about it, think about it, talk about it, go get some 2 weeks and I'll get back to you, Jesus. You know, like this is a big deal. Jesus is saying, hey, leave everything, follow me. And they're like, cool, I'll get back to you. It says at once. Everyone say at once. Say it at once. At once. They left what they knew to follow something better. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, great name, might call my son that, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father. What? And immediately. These guys too are crazy. Jesus said, hey, follow me. And immediately, Zebedee's sons left their nets too. They followed Jesus. They followed Jesus. In Luke 5, we read that actually there is more context to this moment because we read about that when this was happening, Simon, who was to become Peter, was fishing all night and he caught nothing. His business wasn't working. You ever been in that? You ever felt like that? Something in your world is not working. Simon, what he was doing, what he knew to do, was not working. And here's Jesus, apparently a genius at fishing, comes to this guy and says, hey, what you're doing sucks. Try this. Hang on a second, Jesus. Who do you think you are? Peter is the fisherman, and they throw their nets over the other side, like Jesus said, which makes no sense because they've been fishing in the same place all night long and caught nothing. And they throw their nets over, and immediately they bring in a full catch, so much that the boat is starting to sink. Thing you need to know as well is that Andrew, Simon's brother, this wasn't his first time and meeting with Jesus. He had been following a guy called John the Baptist. You heard of John the Baptist? You can talk to me. John, come on Zoom, talk to me. No one in here is talking to me, talk to me. John the Baptist. And if you don't know John the Baptist, he was like the guy that was the prelude to Jesus. He kind of set everything up for Christ to come. And he preached about repentance and he prepared the way. He made it straight for Jesus to come. And he was there one time when Jesus turned up and his two guys, John's two guys, he says, hey, you two, forget me, follow him. One of those two was Andrew. Andrew is Simon's brother. And here in this moment, they are encountering Jesus, but it's in a fresh context and in a new way. And some of you know Jesus, but you don't know him yet in this way. You know, it's good when Jesus is your savior. You know when it really changes your life? Is when he becomes your Lord. You know, this Proverbs 3 verse 5 says, trust in the Lord Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. So I want direction, God. Savior, God. I want direction. Fix this. Fix that. Fix this, Lord. Change them. Fix my husband. Fix my wife. Fix my kids. Fix my bank account. Fix my boss. Fix my job. But if you want his direction, you've got to make him. David said it like this in Psalm 23. You know Psalm 23? Classic piece of scripture. Anyone know that? You know that? You know that one? That one? That's a really good one. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. So before he's my shepherd, first he's my Lord. If you want his guidance into peace, if you want his guidance by still waters, if you want his hand on your life to lean you by green pastures, if you want God before he's your shepherd, he first must be your Lord. And this is what it means to be available. I am praying this year that you move from just Savior God to Lord God, and that you move from repeated things that have you stuck. And listen to me, God will rescue, but he one day wants you to grow up. I mean, nappies are good on a baby, but terrible on a grown man. At some point, God cares about you enough, he's a father, that he wants you to grow up. So you don't go back in the same old cycles that you were in once upon a time. He wants you to grow up. Everyone say, grow up. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, grow up. Do it, do it, do it. Come on, do it. Now tell yourself. Tell yourself. We all need to grow up. And this is what it means. It's when I make my life available. And here we have a picture, an amazing picture of availability. I want to give you three thoughts about this. What does it look like to be available to God? It's one thing to sing about it, but what does it look like? God, I'm available. Lord, I surrender all. Right? But what does that mean? What does that look like day to day? Three thoughts. First thought is that if you're really available to Jesus, it starts with accepting the invitation. Jesus says to these guys, come follow me. And the question is, have you accepted the invitation to follow? Have you accepted Christ's invitation to follow him? Because this requires availability. You know, like there's a great parable in Luke 14, 15 to 24. We read, it's the parable of the great banquet. And there's a master. And he's having this amazing party. Who likes the party? All right. He's having an amazing party. He's got all these people. And he's got an invite list. And he says to his servant, hey, go out there, Luke 14, you can read about it at home in your own time. I don't have time. You read it at home. And he says, go out and invite all these people on the list. Servant goes, invites them, and every one of them have an excuse why they cannot come. And ultimately, each excuse is essentially, Jesus or Master, I'd love to, but I'm busy. And isn't busyness one of the biggest things in our world that is a badge? You know, it's like a badge of honor. You know, you're hanging out with people. Do you remember hanging out with people? Yeah. Anyone remember that? Yeah, we used to go to places, hang out with people. You hang out with somebody and you say, how are you? And they say, good, thanks. How are you? I'm busy. But you don't say it like it's a bad thing. You say it like, I'm busy. You know, like, yeah, I got a lot going on. I'm really busy. I got 7 social media accounts. I'm working them all. I'm starting businesses left, right, and center. I'm busy. You know, I'm really busy. I got a lot going on. And somehow busyness has become a badge in our culture. But when was busyness ever ever the determining factor that your life is effective. Just because you're busy doesn't mean you're busy at doing things that are good. You can be busy doing dumb things. You can be busy doing all sorts of things. Just because you're busy doesn't mean it's good. Oh, I'm so busy. Why? Have you got room in your life for God, creator of the universe? Have you accepted the invitation? Have you said yes to Jesus to make room in your life? If you want to know God, you got to let him in. If you want to know God, your calendar has to start to match. You know, like it's Valentine's night, right? You all know that? Nobody knows. Okay, just so you know, it's Valentine's. And so, I mean, it's one thing to say, oh, Jessen, I love you. She's my wife. Jessen, I love you. But if I have no time in my schedule to spend with her, do I really? I'd love, yeah, that's right. I'd love to hang out with you, my darling wife, but I'm busy. I'm busy, you know. I gotta go play golf, you know. I'm busy. I'd love to invest in our marriage, but I'm busy. It makes no sense. And so it's the same with God. Jesus is saying to you tonight, through the word, come follow me. Let's never be too busy to accept the invitation. The second thought I want you to catch tonight is that availability looks like allowing Jesus to repurpose your purpose. Allowing Jesus to repurpose your purpose. He says to these fishermen, he says, I will make you fishers of men. And here's the thing. I love this. I love this. Jesus goes to fishermen. He didn't go to the local church, down to the temple. And he didn't go to the rabbis. And he didn't go to the religious elite. He went to the disciples. He didn't go to the thinkers. He found the doers. Woo! How's the time? Okay. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 20. Paul is talking to the Corinthian church and he says this. He says, guys, you must remember the kingdom of heaven is not of talk, but of power. And so Jesus had to go to people that wouldn't just talk about God and think about God and judge people about God. He had to go to people who knew how to do stuff. He had to go to people who knew how to be faithful. And these were faithful fishermen doing what they knew to do. And Jesus ignored who you would have thought he'd go to, and he went to the fishermen. Because Jesus wasn't trying to get them to think about stuff. He was trying to get them to walk in power. You could clap, yeah? This is the gospel. The gospel isn't just about talking. It's about walking. And when you start to walk in the ways of God, your life will change. But if all you do is talk, 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 you know, like to all the keyboard warriors, you know what I'm saying? Talk, talk, talk. Talking about stuff. Talking about stuff. Just recently, there was a news thing that we did, and somebody had a scriptural reference for why my long hair is a sin. Somebody else said, hang on a second, didn't Jesus have long hair? Talking, talking. We live in a world that's got a lot of talk, but Jesus didn't come here to create talkers. He came to create people who could walk in the ways of the kingdom. So will you allow Jesus to repurpose your purpose? What does this mean? It means if you're an accountant, that's good. Yeah. Jesus isn't coming to squash what you're doing. He's coming to give it a higher purpose. Like maybe, come on, all the footy boys. Maybe you play footy. Maybe whatever you do, maybe you're a barista, maybe you own a business. God is not saying, quit that, stop it, naughty, don't do it. No. He's saying, I want to keep you there, but I just want to give it a higher purpose. And the purpose of the kingdom is simple. It is people. It is people, not possessions, not stuff. It's people. It's not a stage. It's not about becoming a preacher. It's about helping people. This stage isn't for stars, it's for servants. We aren't here so that you can just get stuck doing something on a stage. We're here that you would go and be empowered to make a difference right where you are. You don't need to be on staff at the church to make a difference. You don't need a job in the office to make a difference for the kingdom of God. Will you let Jesus repurpose your purpose? Will you let God give what you do a higher purpose? You know, when you're at work, will you, before you go into the office, what would happen if you prayed and said, Lord, just give me one thing to say to one person today? What would happen if we were available enough to God to let him repurpose? Some of you might know this story, but I got to tell it. I was catching a plane. Anyone remember those? Yeah. I was on a plane from Townsville to Brisbane, long flight. And so I was flying down, and as I was in the airport, there was a big queue. And I was standing in the queue. And as we were waiting in the queue, this guy and this girl come, like, you know, tumbling in to the airport. And they're screaming and shouting. Just fighting publicly. And so we were in a queue, and there was only one thing to do, and that was to watch. So, and so as they're having this big argument, we're kind of looking on. And I think, wow, that's embarrassing. Okay. And so we get on the plane, and then I go to my seat, and who is next to my seat but this poor girl who's been in this fight? And she is crying, you know, like, and I don't mean pretty crying. Some of you here on Zoom, you cry really pretty. You're like, I mean ugly crying. I mean heavy metal. Ugly crying. I could not believe my luck. And so I sat down, and as she is there squealing and crying, I sit down and I did what any gentleman does. I said, there, you'll be okay. And I put my headphones on. and I watched a movie. And halfway through the flight, I feel this. And I'm like, rude, I'm watching a movie. And she's still crying. And I said, she goes, are you a Christian? Yes. I said, how did you know? Guilty. She said, well, you know, before I got on the plane, I remember my grandma's a Christian, and so I said, God, if you're real, put a Christian next to me on the plane. Why? And I said, well, I guess I'm your guy. Wasn't planning on it myself, but and so we had this conversation, and through her tears and ugly crying, we talked, and she was in a terrible situation. And right there, and I said, well, do you know Jesus? And she said, no. And I said, well, do you want to pray right now? And she said, yes. And so right there and then, we prayed the prayer, she said, and invited Jesus into her heart, and she received Jesus on the plane. And yes. But this was not my agenda at the time. But often God's purpose shows up as an interruption. It doesn't always show up on a Sunday when you're planning for it. Sometimes it shows up on a Monday when you're in traffic and you're annoyed and you get to work and somebody at work. Are we available enough to allow our everyday to have a higher purpose? To allow the interruptions of God? My last thought is this. The disciples had to let go of what they knew. They left their nets. Have you been relying on old things? You know, sometimes you got to let go. There might be some things you need to let go of to make your life available. I play golf and I'm kind of quite average, but I'm working on it. And I've learned that to get a better swing, like, because right now I've worked on my swing a lot and it's pretty good, but to get a better swing, I've got to abandon some of the things I know. And it's not like bad things. This is the crazy thing. Sometimes we think, oh yeah, I've got to let go of everything, wicked and evil and bad. But sometimes it could actually be something that's good that you need to let go of to make room for something better. I mean, Netflix, we're not saying that's bad. I mean, some of it is, but it's fine. But what things is it for you? Not, I'm not saying you should do what I'm doing. I'm saying, what is it for you that you need to make room for something better? Jesus is not as good. Jesus is better. If you think Jesus is as good as anything in this life, you don't really know him. He is not as good. Ben, get up here and help me. He is not as good. He is better. We aren't here because we're adding Jesus into the mix of options. We're here because he is the only option. We are not here because he is a way. We're here because he is the way. He is the way, the life, the truth. And we're not trying to say, hey, you should add Jesus to your life and keep doing what you're doing. We're saying you should rearrange your life to make him number one. Because when he is number one, everything else makes sense. Pain, trouble, good things, bad things. When he is number one, when he is your Lord, he will guide you and he will direct your steps.
Thanks for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. We look forward to having you back soon.